3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
Good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, I gotta put on my good sweatpants.
Big O! Showtime!
When you were making egg poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll make it bad. For the strolling, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channels and LinuxTech.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show, episode 953. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going, guys?
It's going. We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello.
Yeah. And you know what? I actually, speaking of reading, Joe, my daughter had a field trip over the weekend that I chaperoned with, and they didn't want the kids to bring, you know, to use their phones on the bus and stuff because they've had problems with that on before or gaming devices or anything. So I was like, I didn't want to whip out my phone and read. It was like a 3-hour drive. It was a 3-hour trip, right? And we got lost on the minnow. Anyway, I actually bought a book and I had a hard time trying to figure out what I wanted. I was like, I want something lighthearted and maybe a book of short science fiction stories or something. And my wife was like, you read a lot of science fiction. Why don't you get something different? So I settled on The Bell Tolls for No One by Charles Bukowski, which is a collection of short fiction that he wrote that has been previously unpublished or was published in periodicals. And man, did I really enjoy that. A filthy collection of stories. But I love Charles Bukowski. I read a lot of his stuff.
The Bell Tolls for No One.
Yes. If you've never read any Charles Bukowski, it's not a bad place to start. But it is probably a collection of his more raunchier stuff. The first book I read of his was a collection of poems called Septuagenarian Stew. That I really like those, but probably my favorite collection of his poems was The Days Run Away Like Wild Horses Over the Hills. I love his stuff. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, and it's not Linux-related, but I do dig his stuff, and it just had me thinking. And the problem I had, Joel, and we've talked about this before, is I'm like, I got the book, and I looked at the book, and I'm like, I can't have my contact lenses in because I can't read this print with my contact lenses in. So I got to wear my glasses. But then I'm like, I don't want to wear my glasses going around on this field trip because it's called the trout trip. And they had raised trout from egg to fingerlings. And then they take it to place in Waynesboro, Virginia, which is out past Charlottesville. It's 2 hours, 37 minutes at least drive from here. And they have a river fest, it's called. And they release the trout at the river fest. And I was like, I don't like wearing my glasses outside, especially when I'm doing stuff. And I can't read when I have my contact lenses in unless I use, like, my wife has a bunch of, I call them old ladies, with the reading glasses. And when I wear the reading glasses, like, I don't like those because they give me like a little bit of a headache trying to, when I have those on, they do help in a pinch, but I don't like them. But so I brought my contacts with me and I wore my glasses and I didn't, you know, when I got there, I didn't put my contacts in. I just wore my glasses the whole time. So I gotta get new glasses.
Man. You need to go to the eye doctor, man.
Yeah, I do. I definitely need to go to the eye doctor. Bite the bullet, get the bifocals or something. I don't know. I mean, I can read fine without my glasses on or my contacts in.
I know the next time I go, I'm probably going to have them. I'm trying to think. Last two times I went and got glasses, I think. I'm trying to remember. I have computer glasses now, which I have like the progressive bifocals that I wear most of the time. But when I'm working, especially, I usually like if I'm doing like a lot of my tech lead work, I don't need to do a lot of heads down working on the computer stuff. I'm writing things and stuff like that, you know. Still on the computer, but it's not like. Where I really need to focus, and I may need more than one screen to do it, you know. I probably could hack working on just one screen for a good chunk of the day. But the computer ones are monovision, so they're only set for the distance away from my head, you know, from my head to the screens. Okay. And they do work. But I remember the first time I was working and I had them on. This is when we still lived at the old house. So that's about how old they are, you know, because we haven't been in there 2 years now. When you really think about it, but I went to go get lunch and I forgot to take the computer glasses off. I walk in, I jump into the car, and it didn't really dawn on me till I get up to where there's traffic, and I'm like, whoa, what the heck? Because they're a little bit more magnified than my normal bifocal is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because they're designed for short distances, because I think I'm mostly short-sighted. So, yeah, and it's really wild when you walk out around. And plus, the other thing is my bifocals, I have the photo grays on them. So, you know, I'm really used to that now. You know, the only time they suck is like if it's really bright outside and I walk into a building and I can't see for a couple minutes till they get lighter. And I try to. You can get the gray ones or the brown ones, and both are photosensitive to the light. And
yeah, I have brown transitions. And
yeah.
I have non-transitions as well.
Right.
I do like them both, but definitely, you know, I'll wear my transitions if I'm planning on going out, and
right.
I will wear my regular ones if I'm planning on staying in. But, yeah. I'm pretty blind without my glasses, but yeah, walking in from outside, I'll still put my glasses on top of my head for a minute.
But yeah, it's so maybe actually, well, I guess what I'll do is when I go for my eye exam, I'll ask them, well, how different are my computer glasses to my regular prescription now? And if he thinks they're still okay for the computer use, what I may do is I might say, hey, can I get just regular glasses and a pair of prescription sunglasses? You know, because that one of the other issues is the transitions.
Why not just get a pair of regular glasses that are of a standard size, so you can get the clip-ons.
That's an alternative too. Or they actually have them when now instead of the clip-on thing, where it's magnetic, so it just snaps on top of your glasses. They look a little bit more normal.
There you go.
But we'll see. Mine are a pretty standard shape. I mean, they're actually very really close to the old. What 50s and 60s style, you know, the horn rims with the used to have the little metal piece like I don't know. You always see them in like the older armor, like any kind of old video, like or movie that where the army issued eyeglasses.
Basic combat glasses.
BCPs. Yeah. But
those are usually have the thicker plastic frames, which it would be difficult to get a clip on for.
Yep. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. My thing is the transitions don't really get that dark, and especially as I get older, that brightness outside really does bother my eyes for not a long time. It's usually if I'm out long enough, they'll adjust, but it's like a shock first time you walk out, and I don't have anything that to dim the light. Getting freaking old, man. Ugh. But I haven't done anything with the Apple IIc yet. I need to get the floppy emulator, but right now I'm trying not to spend any out of my savings. I'm trying to use that for the Southeast Linux Fest, which there's the official call for papers now, and you got to get them in really quick. I'm sorry?
What's the date for sale?
Glad you mentioned that. June 10th through the 12th. So
not giving it a lot of time, are they?
No, yeah. I think they ended up having to wait that long, and then because there's multiple things going on. One, he said right flat out on the website that it's going to be a community heavy year. They didn't get clarity that they could fully do the show this year in person until March or April. So definitely a little late on the corporate sponsors and conference budgets for those corporate sponsors haven't really returned to normal yet. So, they're of course still open to sponsors. I don't know if right now they list diamond sponsor as Oracle and platinum sponsor Pogo and gold sponsor as Linode. Have others, but those might be listed from last year, maybe when they did their second virtual fest. So
I don't see anybody listed as sponsors on their page right now.
Oh, really? That's weird because it's listed right next to the announcement.
The return to normalcy?
Yeah, it's right to the right of the announcement. Oracle, Pogo, Linux, hold on.
Because I see like the diamond, platinum, gold, silver, bronze sponsors and stuff, but there's nothing. They're just the names of those sponsors. It just says diamond sponsors, and there's nothing there. Like I
really?
Don't see,
the
I don't
image
see
must
anything.
Not have loaded for you then. It's loaded for me.
Let me reload it. Oh, there you go. You're right. Yeah. I reloaded it.
Because they're images. Because they're logos.
Okay, yeah. No, you're right. I don't know why I didn't load in the first time.
So right now for mask mandates, by the time self actually happens, there will be none.
I never even heard of Yada database. What the hell is Yada database?
Yada DB. It was actually... I'm trying to remember if it was the last time I went to the in-person. But they gave each other like a little cheap little notebook with a bunch of printouts in it. Really good information, actually. Like VI reference and stuff like that. And they also gave you a bunch of stickers, and there was a YadaDB sticker in there. I just stuck all my stickers on the notebook, which I still have. But... And Self is not enforcing a vaccine mandate on attendees at all. So, just in case anybody's wondering about that, they're leaving it between you and your doctor. So, they do have a call for sponsors and a call for speakers. Early decision acceptance is made on May 7th and May 14th. And the final deadline to get everything in to submit is May 21st. So basically this month is they're putting together as much as they can. So things they know that they are going to have, the room block's now open, thankfully, because I went into, like a week or two ago, went into the direct to the Sheraton website, and it was like 157 a night. I'm like, if there's no show rate, I'm not going. But the show rate's like 114 a night, which is a little bit more reasonable. So I got a room there, and let's see.
You and Greybeard.
I don't know if he's going.
Greybeard's always at these things. I would assume he's going to be there. I mean, I could be wrong. He's not in the IRC.
He is, yeah. He was
there when we went last time. What was that?
What, you went the 10th last anniversary? 2018. Yeah, 2018.
Yeah. You were there, right?
I was there, Wally was.
Yeah, Chad was there and Dave Yates was there. Yeah. And was that the Paige was there, yeah. Right? And Greybeard was there?
No, Paige was at the OLF before that, but I don't remember. But I know I know you were there at 2018. We didn't have a full show compliment. I know Alan was there, as was his little boy.
Yeah, Alan was there. And, and Murph was there, wasn't he?
I think he was. Yeah. Actually, he presented.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and it was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Quick sidebar here. Were you guys able to get a hold of John?
John who?
John Nadeau. Jonathan Nadeau.
Yeah, Jonathan Nadeau.
Did I not respond to that email?
You did.
You would reach out to him and have him verify that the information was accurate, but that was the last of it.
Right.
Oh crap! I'm sorry. I did get a response from him.
Okay.
I gotta dig it up. I did. I'm sorry. I feel
so
really bad
now. So while
you're
doing that, I'll go through the rest of the confirmed special events. We don't know what talks are going to happen yet. We'll know that until probably the 1st of June, I'm guessing. They're going to have their LAN party Friday through Sunday. Craft beer bottle share. So if you're drinking or want to drink and you want to try some really interesting beers, bring something. I think Dan brought something and he tried some weird-ass stuff. Like, I think you tried, like, what didn't you? Wasn't there a Fruity Pebble beer that year?
There was either. Yes, there was
a strange one.
There was the Craft Beer Fest. I think I'm not sure if that was. I forget which year it was. You know what? Actually, I think.
So you know what? That's right. I went
to Southeast Linux Fest in 2017 with Paige.
Okay, that's right.
And then the next year was I was there the year before. Yes, with Paige, and I was hanging out with I think Sheldon is his name
right.
And I had the worst beer I ever drank in my life that year. And he did. We both tried it, and he threw up in the garbage can. It was the is it Stillwater?
Maybe. I don't remember.
There's one. It's called Still. I don't think it's Stillwater. 420 is like their logo, but it was a cucumber infused beer, and it was disgusting. It was so bad. He drank a lot, but not of the cucumber beer. He was pretty well inebriated when he tried that and then threw up in the garbage can.
And then Jeremy buys pizzas. At least he did that here. And we're just eating pizza like all night. It seemed like they kept coming too. It was strange.
Yeah.
But other stuff happening. They got Ham Radio Special Event Station W4L. So they're going to be operating a station there. I may actually bring my HF radio with me this year just because we're starting to climb out of the minimum. HF communication should be a little easier to do. So granted, it's still hard because I have a QRP radio, so I'm like at 5 watts or under. But anyway, that's cool. They are having the ham radio testing again. GPT key signing. That's a lot of this is stuff they have every year. Geeks with Guns. It's going to be held at Blackstone Shooting Sports. So they're going to have more details once the show opens. They'll have a Dove Random track like they always have with non-FOSS content of interest to geeks. It says past talks include building your own house and the Battle of Jutland. So, and that's I think the Dev Random track is one of the things that makes Self really cool because it's like very few shows have that. It also kind of reminds me of, I don't know if they do it anymore, but at the Dayton Hamvention, which is also back in from the dead this year, it's actually a couple weeks. But that one, they have an XYL track, so they have like a track on crafting and knitting and stuff. Give the wife something to do other than learn about radio stuff. And Onion Futures Market track will have non-FOSS content focused on high-level intellectual discourse and self-improvement where free speech is encouraged. So I think that sounds like a cool track too, but it's always a fun time. I'm usually there for the hallway track, and I get to see people I haven't seen in years now. So it's gonna be great. So I am going. More show related things. Next weekend is CorksCon. It's only a 1-day thing. It's right here in Ohio, at the Big Run Sports Complex over on Climb Road. They got some interesting, hosts or, like guests this year. Probably the most interesting for me is John Riggs, who was, one of the people that are on the Metal Jesus Rocks gaming channel, retro gaming channel, and he has his own channel as well, so he's a really interesting guy, be cool to meet him possibly. But I'm just kind of gonna go and see what mostly I don't know on that one if I'm just gonna go and look at the wares that people bring and see if I can't pick something up either for my Apple IIc or the 800XL, so we'll see. But that's like $10 admission, so I'm going to go to that. I'm thinking about the weekend after possibly going to Dayton Hamvention for at least 1 day. That's a 3-day event. I'm not going to go on the Sunday event because Sunday they usually don't have a lot left. Flea market guys are pulling up and stuff Sunday morning, so the only real reason to go is for the they do like a raffle, and the hourlies that people haven't picked up, they'll raffle off to everyone there, the ones you have to be present for. I don't really care about the hourly prizes as much. I'm okay with just letting them phone me and say, hey, you won one of the top 10 prizes. Because those are usually expensive things. So I'm okay with anything except if it's a tower. If it's a tower, I'm like, can you give me cash? Because I have no place to put a tower. But so that's my fest plan so far for the year. I'd probably not. Well, Murph, I think already happened or will be happening very shortly. The Vintage Computer Fest in the East Coast has already happened as well, so I'm not going to go to that. But I'm just glad to be able to start doing geeky things with other people that have the same interests as I do.
Yeah, that's always good when you get to do that.
Yep, because my wife couldn't give a shit about computers.
Pretty much. And then the only other people, you know, you usually get to talk to that know anything about computers are from work. You really don't want to hang out with them.
Because you already hang out with them all day anyway.
You do enough of that at work.
Right.
Did you get him?
No, I'm here. I'm here. Pat, your new build, how's that going?
It's going. Got my hard drive and just trying to figure out which one I'm going to install first.
You got the, what, the 2 terabyte one, right?
Yep.
That was an amazing price.
Maybe
doing a
Manjaro, maybe.
Okay.
I haven't tried that. I haven't done Arch in a long time.
Manjaro is really polished. I have it on not on this machine, but I'm actually using a Ubuntu tonight, not my Windows laptop. But I have it on my older laptop, and it's just really polished, and it feels really nice to me. I may actually throw it on here instead.
Which one is this one with KDE?
Manjaro. Oh, what am I using today? I'm using Kubuntu with the Plasma, and the main reason I did a fresh install tonight. And the main reason that is I put I upgraded it to 422 or 22.4, I think it is. Yeah, 22.4, and I thought I installed all the prereqs and everything I needed to get the Wayland engine going instead of X11, and it never worked on KDE. It worked fine for straight Ubuntu, but it never worked on the KDE Plasma. So I thought, well, let's try doing a fresh install of Kubuntu. And then I just looked at the process list, and it has everything is X11. So I'm guessing Kubuntu hasn't gotten it done for Wayland yet, but Manjaro does, and it's just really nice and really polished. I like Manjaro quite a bit.
So what are they doing? They using Arch is like upstream.
Yeah, Arch is the upstream. You can install a what's their equivalent of personal package managers, Pac-Man? Dan, I forget. No, well, but yeah, Pac-Man is the main package management. But they have another repo for things that aren't in the standard Arch repos. AUR, that's it, AUR. The Arch user repos.
Right? Oh, yeah, AUR, you're right.
Yep, so that in and of itself makes it really nice because you can install stuff that aren't in the standard Arch repos. So.
Yeah, it's been forever since I did an Arch distro.
Yeah, I think you'll like it a lot. You know, the hard thing is going from the dev package management to the Arch Pac-Man stuff. It's not difficult, it's just different commands. But I know Dan likes it.
I don't know which desktop I'm going to use. Maybe I'll try KDE. I haven't tried KDE in a while, though.
Plasma is really nice.
You know what I'm going to say?
What, you like cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, cinnamon's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, cinnamon is awesome. I've used cinnamon. I
it's
tried
not too heavy,
the...
but it's really nice.
Yep. And I've tried the Qt OS And it's they have a desktop variant that you can install on any Linux distro. And that's really nice if you like the Apple style. Same thing with Elementary OS. Then there's Peppermint, which Link's tried and he's liked that before.
Window Maker all the way, baby.
Yeah, yeah, always different. Kicking it old school. No. You gotta go to the awesome window manager. So many text windows.
I've never been that big of a fan of tiling window managers.
Me either. That's like, we have most of the iTech Gear Weekly guys are fairly old. You know, we're all in our 50s or older. And we had a discussion talking about the folding phones versus the dual screen phones like the Microsoft Duo. And he didn't see the point in them. And I totally see the point in both of them. But I'm not going to buy a folding phone and have to live with a crease in the middle of my screen. That's not happening.
I'm sure you don't even notice it. Like, you know.
Bullshit. I'd notice it. I noticed I had either a phone or something that had one pixel that was dead in it, and I noticed it and it bugged the ever living crap out of me. So.
Well, give it another generation or three and.
Yeah, well, that's it right there. To me, we're only like second generation at most with those. So it's not quite there yet. I like Microsoft's concept better than the others because they have two screens with a divider in the middle. And, you know, they're both normalized, normal cell screens with the glass texture on the front of it. You know, it's not a plastic like it's on the folding ones.
Right.
But, you know, I've played with them. I would definitely notice it. I would definitely notice the crease. But I think Dan probably would like the dual screens because it could actually mimic a book really nicely because you can have two pages up at the same time. But Dan wouldn't want to spend the money on it. Because they're expensive.
I don't know if I'd want an Android.
An Android?
Well, a phone.
Oh.
Phone.
Like, you'd rather have, like, a dual screen with Linux?
Yes.
I think a lot of us would, but...
There isn't a good Linux phone operating system.
Well, yeah, whatever runs on the Pine phone.
Yeah, most of those aren't that great.
Yeah, that's the
definitely
problem.
Not daily driver. Maybe a dual boot.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I'd like to do some like non-tech things that's related to subjects that I like. Like board games. My problem is none of my family, I mean, my wife likes to play like the standard family board games like Monopoly.
You're playing them online.
Yeah. But like I'd like to play like there's a place called the Dragon's Lair here. And, you know, they have their room open back up for games now. But they'd have, like, X-Wing games, and I'm trying to think some of the other ones. I'd like to get into doing more, going back, and I have a bunch of Battletech stuff. So I love playing BattleTech. Not Mech Warrior as much, because I'm not creative enough to figure out a story, and I don't like buying the pre-box ones, because it's like, you know, same reason why I don't do Dungeons and Dragons.
Why don't you like Dungeons and Dragons?
I don't know. No real reason. I never it's played blasphemy. It when I was a kid. It's not blasphemy.
So how do you know you don't like it if you never played it?
Well, yeah.
But there are other ones, you know.
That's the thing.
Vampire the Masquerade.
Is Shadowrun still popular?
You know, I don't think it was ever actually popular, the tabletop
version. No.
But it was still, you know, played. And it is still... place.
I've heard of it, but, you know.
You've heard of it probably because of the video games.
Right.
But there is a tabletop version of it.
Yep. Start the old Starfleet battles, too. That's one I always wanted to play, never did.
Well, in recent years, you know, they started coming out with, like, a tabletop role-playing game for just about everything.
Yeah, that's true, too. Like, I know there's a Marvel Universe one.
Yeah. I bet if I looked, there'd be a Buffy one. Supernatural. Whatever movie, TV show, anything that you could think of, I'm sure there's some kind of tabletop RPG for it.
There's a, from West End Games, there was a Star Wars role-playing game. I've got some books for that. That one, I don't think it got super popular. I think people with Star Wars, they like the video games, like, what's the Dark Jedi one? I can't remember.
Waste of Time?
No.
Technically, that would be all video games.
That's true.
How dare you? Star Wars Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2? Dark Forces?
Dark Force Rising.
Hmm.
I think. There's a KOTOR. Knights of the Old Republic.
I like Knights of the Old
Republic. Wait, those are video games, aren't they?
That is a video game, right?
I thought we were talking about role-playing games. Like, tabletop role-playing games.
Yeah.
We're talking about both.
Yeah, no. Kind of both. Because you gotta think, too, like, some of the best video games of the early 90s were based on board games. Like, you had BattleTech and Mech Warrior.
Well, basically, all of your D&D games of any
right.
kind on a computer.
ESSI games. It really, text adventures kind of came out of a role-playing style game.
Oh, you know what I was like? So, did I talk about that I got the pre-release core rulebook for the Marvel Multiverse role-playing game?
I don't think
did. Did I mention that?
Nope.
So, yeah, I've been reading through that, and... I'm going to play with my family, hopefully soon, because I have my youngest daughter. We created a character for her, but,
to play.
It is a, if you're at all familiar with the Marvel Universe, they have the rule set is called the 616 rule set. And it's basically, you only use six-sided dice, and you have two dice. You have two regular dice and one Marvel die. And if you, when you roll the dice, if you get a one on the Marvel die, that counts as a six, and it's a special, like, something special happens. And there's different. So it's kind of like it's all based on six rolling 3 6-sided dice, which is a lot different than like die 20 systems and stuff like that.
Well, a couple of different systems were standardized with 10, and they called it percentage systems.
Right.
A lot easier to understand.
The original Marvel role-playing game, the Face Rip one, was based on die. It was based on percentage. It was die 10, and I really like that. And I was reading through the rule book, and the more I read it and you learn it, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I think it has the capacity to really allow you to do what you see done in comic books and stuff. I think they pretty much flesh that out to the best that I think I've seen it yet. And I didn't, now I think there was another Marvel role-playing game somewhere down the line I didn't get or read up on between the original one and this one. But then like, I was like, you know what I really would love to do? I'd really like to check out Star Frontiers again. Cause I remember that game when it first came out and I got it. And I was like, I wonder how much like it would cost to get the Star Frontiers or whether they updated it and re-released it. And they didn't update it, and it's out of print. Like you can get a copy of it for like over $200. And I'm like, no, I don't want to check it out that bad. But apparently if you go, the Die 20 system has, Universal Role-Playing Systems has the Star Frontiers core rules in PDF format that you can, read online.
Cool.
So
that Marvel game you got, is that based on MCU or just the comics?
No, it's kind of based on the MCU. I mean, okay. they're essentially the same thing, you know? I mean,
well, yeah, well, they are. Like the Chitauri are completely different in the MCU. And then that's because I looked up the Chitauri while I was watching the movie. Because that's the kind of place I am with the MCU movies. If I watch it again, I'll find something interesting in it and I'll Google it.
Yeah, so I mean, there are subtle differences, but it's pretty much like,
right?
You know, the characters are pretty much largely the same. I mean,
right.
There isn't that big of a difference between Captain America and the MCU and Captain America in the Ultimate version, which is what the MCU is based off of.
Right.
Essentially, like, this concepts are the same. But, yeah, it's the one thing I don't like about the core rule book that they have. Now, this is just, like I said, it's a preview, it's a pre-release. The actual rule book is supposed to be coming out in, I think, 2023 or maybe the fall of 2022. I don't know. It's going to be off a while. They give you, like, obviously they give you Spider-Man and Captain America, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, Storm, Wolverine, and Groot.
Yep.
And Rocket Raccoon. And they give you those characters as examples, and they're pretty well, their powers are fleshed out. And the powers that they provide in the book are largely based around those characters right there. So it's a subset of what's going to be in the final release. And then the example adventure they provide in there is just like infiltrating a Hydra base. And the only thing they have in there as like what you fight is are like Hydra lackeys, which are like the lowest level thing you can fight. And I'm like,
right.
So the example, like what kind of threw me at first is like, I think the weakest character that you can consider in the book that they provide realistically could not be hurt by any one of those, by any of the Hydra characters that are in the game. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do that. And you know, it almost makes sense because like unless the you have like a really lucky shot, like these Hydra guys are not going to be Captain America. And it doesn't happen. I mean, it could happen, but it doesn't happen in the comic books. It doesn't happen in the movies either. If it did, the movie would be over, right? That'd be the end of it. Unless it's like, you know, they got to capture him or whatever. So, yeah. That's the only thing is I wish they had more examples of stuff in there, at least a couple of bad guys like give us
like Thanos or
Thanos would have been a little overkill, I think.
True, but
yeah, that's fine, but you know, it would have been nice to have a mix of like maybe throw the Vulture
Loki
in there
or
like if you're gonna have Thor, have Loki. Thor's in there, yeah, so Thor's in there,
right?
Hulk is not in there, unfortunately.
Well, that's weird.
You know, it'd be nice if they would have added like a comparable enemy to each one of the characters that were in there. But you know,
like whatever. Doc Ock or something, like someone like that, yeah.
So
or the Green Goblin, yeah.
Oh yeah, Doctor Strange is in there too. So
okay, well yeah.
So it's I like it. I wanna give it a whirl. Hopefully in the next week or two. And I'll report back how that went. Last one we played was at home here. It was a D&D 4th edition. That was a bunch of years ago, which wasn't too bad. I still like the original D&D. The Advanced Dungeons and Dragons was my favorite. I played Die 20, but it was in a futuristic universe and I wasn't running the campaigns. I enjoyed that, but I always loved Call of Cthulhu, but that's a little too heavy for the family.
Yeah,
but Star Frontiers, now that I see that it's available, maybe I'll see about doing that too. I love it. I love the game.
Yep,
although I don't know if I'm gonna like reading the rule book online in a PDF format. I like that. You know, and I should just go through my old stuff. I think I have the rule book in my garage. I just need to pull it out. I have the Marvel rule book in my garage.
Now, see, I think some of the things, like if I went to over the Dragon Slayer, because that's the wild thing with some of these board games, like BattleTech and MechWarrior and stuff. It's like you can pick up the resource books, and just they are interesting to read. Trying to think of the 3050 resource book for BattleTech, because that's when the big clan push into the inner sphere in the game was, and so that introduced all the different clans, like Clan Jade Falcon, Clan Wolf, so on and so forth in that game. And they did have a series of fiction books, and one year, I think for one season, I can't find it anywhere to buy, like on Blu-ray or DVD, but there was a BattleTech TV series, cartoon, animated series. It was good from what I remember what I saw of it, but that's kind of the nice thing about these more in-depth and really rich gaming systems that companies like FASA, and they're like, I think they're merged with West End Games, I think now, or I can't remember. Somebody bought them, I know that. But and that's kind of one of the things. So even if you don't have anyone to play the game with, sometimes the books are just fun to flip through anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Because you're reading details about the different monsters and stuff, and you know, or in a BattleTech case, you have they're talking about the different clan mechs, the Inner Sphere mechs, so on and so forth, all the technical details in those, and that's what makes those games fun for like people like us, you know, geeks, and they're a little much for our non-geek family members. Plus, and there's the different kind of dice that you can buy for the game. Sometimes those are just as collectible as the game stuff is. Anywho.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this month, we didn't talk about it yet, but this month Ubuntu had their release. It's pretty uneventful, really.
Seriously.
We didn't talk about the stuff with the Supreme Court either.
And I don't know if we want to.
Makes sense.
I will say this. Ubuntu did come out with a rolling release now. So if you just want to upgrade, that's probably the best thing to go for.
You just got to keep it up to date. Don't let it go too long or you're going to have problems trying to. Boy. Are you running the new Ubuntu still?
2204 Kubuntu now.
You liking it? I was supposed to update a couple weeks ago, and I keep forgetting. I thought I clicked a button, but I didn't.
And I've used both. I've used both the straight Ubuntu and the Plasma version of Kubuntu. I think Wayland is much faster, and I may end up switching this laptop back to Ubuntu or just install it on top of Kubuntu because... I really like how Wayland is just, I think Wayland's a better windowing system than the old one. Just think what X-Free 86, X-Org, I think it was. And I grew used to where the GNOME put the Ubuntu, well actually, I think GNOME does it too, but where they put the dock on the side. I guess I could always move it to the bottom if I really wanted to. You like a dock on the side or on the bottom? I'm kind of more traditional with the bottom.
Yeah, I'm always partial to the dock being on the bottom.
Yeah. And that's the cool sometimes thing is you can always switch it.
On the top.
On the top? Yeah, I can see that. The side, I don't know, feels a little unnatural to me. I don't know why. It's just how I feel.
Very GNOME.
Yeah. Heck, whatever happened to wobbly windows?
It's still available on some
stuff. I'm sure it is, but nobody cares anymore.
It's neat to look at and use the first couple of times, but then it gets a little tiring.
Yeah. Dragging a window and it's dragging along like a piece of paper. Yeah, have any of you played any Wordle at all?
Oh, yeah, I play it every day.
Like once. Played it like once.
If you're into music, there's now... I heard someone call it Hurdle, but it's not Hurdle. I guess it is. It's H-E-R-D-L-E. And basically, it's very similar to that. But you have to guess a song. So, like the first time you listen to it, it only plays like two or three notes, and then for each guess at the song.
What was that musical game show forever ago that you'd say how many notes?
Name that tune.
Name that tune.
Right. Essentially, it's very much like that. But for every answer you get wrong, they keep playing more of the song. The bad part is it's mostly songs I don't think any one of us listen to. Like
it's all mumble rap.
Not all mumble rap. Like one of the song. I think today's song was an Ed Sheeran song, and I'm like, no clue. But so it's like one song a day, and I guess it's interesting. And it's a similar setup to like Wordle is essentially just a web page. Same thing with that. If you just search Google Heardle, then you'll see what I mean. And then there's the quadruple Wordle, I think. Wordle, I think.
Yeah, I play that. I play Quartle, Wordle, and Waffle on a regular basis.
Waffle.
Blue Waffle. That's...
Not Ooh, Blue Waffle.
No, no,
Blue
no. Waffle.
I like the fact that I win more than I lose, but that's okay. I'm happy
now,
with that.
If you look in the Mumble chat, there's something that's relatively interesting. I saw this on one of the EDC groups I'm in called the Flipper Zero.
The heck is that?
It's a portable multi-tool for developers and geeks in a toy-like body. It loves exploring digital stuff such as radio protocols, access control systems, hardware, and more. Fully open source and customizable, and you can extend it in whatever way you like. Basically, it's like a Tamagotchi for geeks, kind of, sort of. It's got USB-C connections to it, a wrist strap hole, micro SD card, and it has GPIO on the top, and an infrared transceiver. Anyway, is that a Kickstarter? Hold on. No, that's a web page, and they're up for pre-order now. Sounds pretty interesting to me, anyway. $169 and currently sold out. Why do I always find out about these things when they're already sold out? Joe, you'd probably dig it because it has prototyping boards and stuff like that on it.
What's that?
I said you'd probably dig this thing.
What is it?
It's got the Flipper Zero.
What is it?
It's got like a LCD screen, a D-pad, and a button, and it's fully open source. It has you can get a Wi-Fi board with it. They have prototyping boards to put your own circuits in it.
Portable multi-tool for geeks.
Yep. That's what they're saying.
Tiny piece of hardware with the curious personality of a cyber dolphin. Interact yep. with digital systems in real life and grow while you use it.
Explore could definitely be a hacking tool.
Control system. RFID, radio protocols, and debug hardware using GPIO pins.
Definitely could be a hacking tool.
So it's what, a Neopet that does things?
Yep. Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi.
That's it.
Fired by Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, that's something I didn't read on there, but that's cool.
Oh, no, just the dolphin, the cyber dolphin.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Johnny Mnemonic.
It's like, I don't watch it anymore, but Hack 5, their store has just gotten crazy with this kind of hacking gear.
Yeah, I kind of quit watching them when they left the studio.
Yeah.
Didn't interest me as much. I don't know why. They got rid of tech thing at the same time.
Yeah. And now I don't even know what Patrick Norton is doing.
He's not. I think he occasionally does some things for Twitch.
Twit.
And I don't think he's really doing a whole lot of podcasting or anything. I think he's quasi retired from it. Then what's her name?
Snubs.
It has her own channel, and she's still doing Threatwire. Yep. Threatwire is occasionally interesting.
Occasionally interesting.
Yeah, I liked her episode on Log4j. It gave a really succinct, precise explanation. Law.
That helps. Well, tomorrow is the end of Picard for season 2. And the start of Strange New Worlds, which I'm looking forward to.
That means there's 3 concurrently running Star Trek shows, or 4? Because
they don't run concurrently.
Well, you know what I mean.
Disco.
None of them are canceled.
Right. You got Disco, Picard. Well, Picard's only got one more season. And you got...
Patrick Stewart should have retired like a decade ago.
You're not kidding. And Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks is still a thing, I think. And
yeah, there's 4.
Yeah, and Star Trek Prodigy.
Or 5 then?
Yeah, Star Trek Prodigy is... Well, it's a little more kiddie than a lot of their stuff is.
So.
But.
It's concurrent.
Yeah. And Lower Decks is more adult comedy. It's more of an adult cartoon.
And the Orville's ending.
No. Still, season 3's coming soon.
Oh, I thought that was supposed to be the last season.
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure if it is or not. I know it's their first season off of Fox, and it got completely screwed by COVID. Because season 3 was supposed to be really, really epic, and I'm not sure if it's going to be as epic as Seth wanted it to be. But it's a great show.
I haven't watched much of it.
The new show's starting Friday, right?
Strange New Worlds?
Yep.
It's tomorrow.
Oh. I think it's the season finale of Moon Knight to watch.
Ah, same here.
Moon Knight. I don't know. I never knew the character from comics, so I probably wouldn't have liked the show anyway.
That's the spirit. Never saw it. Don't like it.
You'll probably like the show better having not, you know, read any of the comics.
That's a possibility. I could not. I tried WandaVision so hard. I just couldn't. Ugh. I'm sorry. It was just awful. I mean,
yeah.
It was a cool concept.
Sat down and watched
right.
Scarlet Witch.
Right.
Because, yeah, we were concerned about it sucking.
Yeah, WandaVision, for whatever reason, I just could, it's an interesting concept, but I just don't think they pulled it off good enough, I don't know. That's like the some of the newer Marvel films that have came out since the end of Endgame, which I haven't seen any of them yet. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, movie wise, the only things that are really out right now is what the Spider-Man and and Doctor Strange that's coming out shortly.
Yes.
Doctor Strange is out this week.
Yes, yeah, it is.
I do want to watch it, but I'm going to wait for it to hit digital.
Wait, yeah, what Spider-Man are you talking about?
No Way Home.
Oh, yeah, that was
supposed to be leading into Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but that was like out in December, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it just hit digital last month.
Oh,
right.
Okay. I haven't watched it yet. I've been busy campaigning.
I've been busy working. And we're in the... Well, I used to get like one night to myself completely. I mean, don't get me wrong. Most nights I do get downtime for myself because we usually eat dinner and then that's it. But I'm talking about where I'm in the house by myself, can actually put something on the TV and not hear either of them complain about what's on the TV,
That's what having a tablet is for.
Well, yeah, but sometimes it's nice to not have to wear headphones.
That's what an in-ear Bluetooth headpiece is for, and then you only have it in one side.
Ew. But then I can pick what I want to eat, so...
Well, you can always pick what you want to eat.
Well, yeah, yes and no. If I'm making dinner for everyone, it has to be something we would all eat. Like, for example, if I picked, like...
That's when you make two meals.
No. I won't do that.
To make them eat Chex Mix.
Right.
I haven't made it in a while. Not since fall. I need to.
Actually, what you cook, they can go hungry.
Yeah, that doesn't work with my wife.
Wendy's. That's how Uber Eats works.
No, she doesn't. I can't get them to cook a meal, let alone order it. It's always, they're always coming to me for it, and I'm like,
what would they do without you?
That's a good question.
They'd be there starving to death. They'd be like, why won't Joel feed us?
Well, that's like, Sunday. I just looked at the wife and says, it's a fend for yourself night. We all got something out of the fridge and microwaved it.
Together?
No. Whenever we wanted. Well, see, I'm trying to think. Oh, that like Saturday, either Friday or Saturday, I ordered a pizza from Tammy's and we had some left over. So I got home from church and I hit that hard. Because there was quite a bit left over. Because I probably should have ordered a meat Tammy's pizza. It's a local place.
Bet she is.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's okay. Yeah. It's one of my top ones here in town.
Let's put it this way: here. Is it better than Domino's and Pizza Hut?
Oh God,
and,
yes.
And yeah.
God, okay. Yes. You know what? I can't even get Pizza Hut delivered here. I'm not joking.
That's
I'm going too far. not a
There's nothing to complain about there.
Exactly.
No.
Lucky.
No. There is a Little Caesars, but it's all the way across town, so I'm like, eh. I mean, all the way across town is like 5 minutes away, so okay, so I'm just too lazy to even do that, so some nights. But no, there's a place. The one I haven't tried is the one all the locals in this area swear by. It's one called Zamborelli's, and they only take cash. So it's like they're not in any of the delivery apps, and I've talked to my friend who's lived here in Grove City forever, and he says the only way it's good is if you tell him to overcook it. So I'm guessing it normally comes out a little doughy, and I'm like, ew.
I'll tell you, one of the things that like really surprised me, like my wife is really into plants,
right,
and growing, and she went. They were having this this grower was coming up from Ecuador, I think, and some rare plants hard to get in the United States. That she only grows indoors. And it was coming up, and there's a guy in his greenhouse in North Carolina that was having, they were stopping at, and she had a bunch of mortars. We went down there. It's in Nashville, North Carolina, out like just out there. Nothing around. It was probably, I think, an hour outside of Raleigh area, and there was a place we stopped at called, I think it was called the Red Hill Cafe, and it was a pizza place. And when I walked in, like, we didn't know what it was. When we walked in, this guy back there, and he had like pictures of New York City. And with him doing, you know, working in different places in New York City and stuff like that, that you see a lot of times in these small pizza places. And I swear, man, that pizza tasted just like Pizza Como pizza. That kind of, not necessarily New York, but New Jersey style pizza. And it was so good. Compared to like all the other places, like, I haven't had that kind of pizza outside of the New York, New Jersey, you know, area. Sometimes you get a little bit of taste in the Lehigh Valley, but it was really good. I was impressed for a place out in the ass end of North Carolina. And you know, it's like, right. What the hell is this guy doing down here? He used to work and live in New York and everything. Like, is he in a witness protection program or something? But it was really good pizza. We were very impressed. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
There's one that was like and I haven't ordered it, mostly because usually there's a pizza group for Columbus here, and I'm trying to remember the name of this place. Wizard of Za is the name of it. All right, and I think it's a little different now. But back when they really got popular in this group, he would open up reservations to order your pizza for 2 weeks at a time, and sometimes you could only get the pizza 2 weeks out. And I'm like, pass.
That must have been some really good pizza then, I guess.
I know. It just sounded like one of those overhyped things that a lot of these like little low number like mom and pop places start to do now, you know, before they go all the way out. Now I think now you can literally order it and go in and pick it up tonight, but I'm trying to remember what kind of style they call it. It's a quite a bit different. Then there's a place here called Pie and Tiger, which is also another different style. Columbus has a bunch of different styles. I mean, we can even get Chicago deep dish here now. So, but I don't go up there very often because, God, I kill myself every time I go. Because there's so much goodies in that crust. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because we got to wrap it up. It's 10 o'clock. Enough of the pizza talk. You're making Joe hungry.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. So,
go get you some Rebel ice cream.
I will look to see if I have ice cream.
All right.
I am hungry.
Well, I hope you find something to eat.
For supper.
Just oatmeal?
Yeah, I had oatmeal with some protein powder.
Oh. Mm. All right. So I'm going to play us out.
Strawberries.
Get some sleep, everybody. And enjoy your May the 4th.
Have a good one.
Be with you.
Yep. And here are your promos.
I am short.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
But you were making it pretty young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. Okay, they call this Pie the Tiger Detroit style pizza. Okay. Which I'm not sure what makes it Detroit. But it's square pizza cut into squares, and the sauce goes on top. I think the best that I can describe it is like a Sicilian style.
No, I know what Detroit pizza is.
Right.
I've had it, that style. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, there's almost no bad pizza. You know, granted, we don't do Little Caesars anymore. Or Domino's. Scro City has a lot of mom and pop pizza places that are heads and shoulders better, but here's one of their weird ones. It looks like it has this sauce is mustard on the top, which I'm like, okay. There's another one with pesto on the top. Yeah. Right. Every once in a while, I'll get a barbecue chicken pizza. Luke likes that.
You know, I have to admit, I love pizza.
Yep.
It has to be really, really, really bad for me to say, no way.
Yeah, right.
You know? You know,
pretty much the same. Yeah.
Now, granted, I remember back in the day when I was a kid, my mom would buy the Lane Cove brand pizza, which usually it came in like
cardboard.
That little 10-inch pizza that was in that cardboard box, and
with the chunks of pepperoni on instead of the.
Yes.
Slices.
yes, absolutely. And it was like 50 cents at the time. I don't know. You can get them for a buck now. and it tastes they taste like you're eating the cardboard box sometimes.
Yep.
That's probably like the worst pizza that I would eat and not complain too much about it. I don't know. Pizza, I don't think I've ever really had like really, 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 really bad pizza or anything. I've said absolutely not. I'm not going to take another bite of that. It's disgusting.
I do want to find someone that has a good cheeseburger pizza because I've heard that's good. Where it basically even has like pickles on top of it. Which I like pickles on my burgers. For sure.
You know what? I will admit, I think cheeseburger pizza tastes pretty darn good.
Yep. Reminds me of the cheeseburger Doritos. Remember those?
Yeah. And a cheesesteak pizza I've had, that tastes yes. pretty good.
But you know what's funny, though? Every time I have a cheesesteak pizza, it usually has provolone on it, and I've yet to see someone make it with Cheese Whiz. Which, that's a true cheesesteak pizza.
Right, there you go.
If it had Cheese Whiz on it. I mean, I know Cheese Whiz is pretty much not food, but but it tastes so great on a steak, you know, on a cheesesteak, man. Maybe I should get those.
There's a place, it is called Baked Bistro and Pizza that opened up in the past year and a half or so down here. And they're part of Glazed Donuts, which is a...
like a local chain?
Yeah, and it's just a local donut shop. And they have really good donuts. But they had some really interesting... I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to remember. Their pizzas that I've gone and had there. The crust is phenomenal. Where is the damn menu of the pizzas? Why is this so hard to find? Why? I'm looking at their menu.
Because you're trying to find it.
Yeah, sandwiches. Where's their damn pizza list? Did I miss it? Oh. I hate it when a place's website is... Yeah, let's go. Let's try again. I looked at the breakfast menu. I didn't look at the lunch menu.
Oh, there you go.
All right, bagged lunch and no pizza. I've had their Crabzilla, which is olive oil, mozzarella, cheddar,
on a pizza?
Basil, crab Ooh. Meat, and Old Bay. That's good. I was very, 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 very surprised by their blueberry yum yum pizza, which is white sauce, goat That's cheese, ricotta, pizza, mozzarella, yeah. blueberries, caramelized onions, fresh arugula, and balsamic glaze. That was phenomenal. And
That's wild.
I don't know. I want to try their Korean barbecue one, which is Korean barbecue sauce, beef bulgogi, shiitake, mushrooms, onions, peppers, mozzarella, and kimchi. That looks really good.
I never would have thought that blueberry one, actually. I'm thinking, when you said it, I was thinking that's a dessert pizza, but then when you read all the other stuff, I'm like...
No, it wasn't. That was... Okay. Oh, my goodness. That was so good, man.
That would be worth a try.
It was worth it. All right,
but yeah, see, and that's the way I am, like, too. Like, I ran into... Now, this is... It's this... there's this channel called Morgan Drinks Coffee. Which, if you don't do coffee, then you probably wouldn't interest you that much. But she's a barista / coffee YouTuber, lives in like Oregon, and she went to compete in. I guess there's a barista competition where you make an espresso shot and a milk one, and then you make a signature drink. And her signature drink had like a shot of espresso. Mango puree, orange blossom water, lime oleo sacrum, And she spritzed, before she put all that stuff in the glass, she spritzes it with jasmine tea. And I'm like, that sounds really strange, but I bet you it could be good. You know, and that's the kind of things I look at and I'm like, I'll try that.
There's a lot going on. Say goodnight, Joel. I got to stop the recording.
Yeah, there is. That is, but her channel, though, is pretty.
Look at that. You two came in at the same time.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You've been hanging out together.
That's no. What it is.
Man, he just, that was an emphatic no from Joel. How does that
he
make
doesn't want
feel,
to admit
Joel?
That he's hanging out in my garage.
Oh.
I don't
and my
know,
garage
man.
Is way cooler than his man cave.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it is.
You might have more old laptops than I have in here.
That's true. Hold on. Okay.
Reserved my room for self.
I had to plug in. You should talk to Mordency.
No.
You don't want a room with Mordency? He's planning on going.
I don't want a room with anyone.
Come on, Joel. You want to hear people farting in the middle of the night? There's
I want to. I want to have a room where I can go and decompress by myself.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Because I still thought they were calling it hookers and blow.
Nah. We're over in poison Chardonnay. Gosh, I just realized it's been such a long time since I had any alcohol at all. Like over 10 years. So I was making sure my Easy Pass had enough on it for the trip.
For the trip to get alcohol?
No, well, to Charlotte.
You should start practicing now with the whole getting drunk. You got 10 years to make up for it.
Not gonna get drunk.
Man, you're really like, you're really gaming up on that Easy Pass there. Thinking you gotta
not really
you gotta load that
$10
up now
on
for
it.
A trip that's like a month away almost.
Well, I actually want to make sure that I do it that I don't forget about it.
Well, that makes sense. Nothing
keep
sucks
down
more.
My gain. I keep turning down my gain, so hopefully my fan doesn't turn on my mic.
I noticed that I run into that problem. Like, I got to put money on the Easy Pass. I got to put money on the Easy Pass. And the morning of leaving, I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot to put money on the Easy Pass. So yeah. I throw it on there and, like, well, I hope it's going to be on there when I go through the tolls. And
mine
an
automatically takes it out if I get close
yeah,
to zero.
Yeah, mine will, if you go below $10, mine will do that. But it was definitely going to do that. So
one of mine does that. The other one, I don't know why it doesn't. I don't know. We've always had problems with it. It's the one from Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's the problem. It's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well,
it was so strange the first time for me being on the PA Turnpike early, at the beginning of April when we went out to Hershey that there's nobody in the booths. You just drive right on through. Even if you don't have an Easy Pass. You still do that, because then they just look up your license plate.
I have a picture of your license plate that I took, and I usually drive through without an Easy Pass on those. I just have it taped over my license plate, so it goes right to you.
That makes sense.
Shamad 777, licensed to be killed. That's the name of the theme of the show. Although I did not see where I can pay for a supporter thing yet. And what's funny is it was down for like, what, a week and a half or so?
Did you donate any money to my campaign?
Why would I do that? I'm all the way up here.
I'm your friend. You can't donate because I'm your friend?
Apparently not, because he had that emphatic right. No when he said you guys were hanging out together.
That's right. He says he's not going to hang out in my garage. He's too cool for my garage.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't say that. So you see, you work out of your garage. My boss works out of his basement. And he was something he went to. He pulled his groin, you know, so it was kind of a lot of pain.
Oh, that sucks.
That sounds like it's a very private thing that happened.
Yeah, did not like going up and downstairs, so he went over and peed in the sump pump pit. I'm like, okay, sounds gross, but okay.
Sounds painful.
Yeah.
Could have been worse. You could have had kidney stones too.
At the same time.
Oh, I got a better one there. My old boss, one of my bosses that had Columbus State, he got kidney stones. But guess where he got them at? Disney World.
Somewhere between his kidney and his urethra.
No. When it hit him, he got it at Disney World, and the Mickey Mouse ambulance had to come take him to a hospital.
I was like, where else do you get kidney stones? Somewhere between your kidney and your urethra.
Too literal. Have fun, man.
I am having fun by being entirely too literal.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm actually listening to a really interesting book right now called Reality Plus.
Oh.
And it's a philosophy book, but it's mostly, you know, about virtual reality. And whether it counts as real and whether or not we're living in a simulation, and if it matters if we're living in a simulation.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to finish listening to, we're doing, our engineering team is doing a book, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team or something like that. I cheaped out, got the audio book, but I just don't want to listen to it. I should just finish it. I should just listen to it this weekend because it's only 3 hours long for the entire book. So it's not that bad.
If you crank it up to 3x, it's only an hour.
Is that David Chalmers?
No, Lanconi, I think.
No, I'm talking to Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Let me check real quick. It's literally called Reality Plus.
Virtual Worlds and the Problems of Philosophy. Okay, yeah, this is David Chalmers. I'm trying to think of...
Yeah.
I've read of David Chalmers. Is he... Is he who I think he is?
I don't know. He has in like the Matrix movie, if you got the Blu-ray, the special edition with all the extras, evidently he has a small segment in one of the extras talking about virtual reality and the philosophy behind it. Well, the campaign is almost over. This Saturday, the voting happens. So, got off
Saturday.
This Saturday, the last of the voting happens. Early voting is complete. But got off of work today at about 4:30 and went out block walking and dropping off literature at everybody's house.
I did our election was yesterday. The primaries. And
got my steps in for the day.
I'm trying to think if I've voted like this before. That we have, you know, we're all electronic voting now, all right? But they recently got new machines now where instead of it was just all used to be stored on a cartridge on each machine. What they do now instead is the touchscreen thing is essentially a computer and a printer. So it has the ballot on the machine, and then you stick the poll worker sticks a little sheet of paper in it that fits exactly in the machine. You do your voting, and it prints it on a card. Then you can put your card in the envelope, walk over to another machine that scans it. It's kind of, well, seems kind of inefficient, but I'm not exactly sure why they're doing it that way.
It seems extremely inefficient, but yeah, we do the same thing. You know, they hand you your sheet of paper,
right,
notch in the top corner, and then you go over to the machine and you slide it into the first machine. And
the thing that annoys me is,
and it prints it out, and you take it over to the other machine and slide it in there, and it reads it.
Yep. And counts it. But the thing that annoys me, though, is I guess it's because they're so new that they have the poll workers basically leading everyone through the spiel. It's like, I don't really need help. Let me do it. I'm like, and they do it every time. It's like, yeah,
they're just trying to help you because you look like an old, old man, and they always are the ones that need the help.
Like, I probably could have wrote a program to do this as simple as that stuff is. Anyway, let's start the show.
Yeah, so David Chalmers is credited with the heart. One of the things, one of the people credited with the heart problem of consciousness. So yeah, I'm familiar with his work. I'm gonna check that book out. You say it's good, I'm gonna check it out, Joe.
I am enjoying it. I'm only on chapter 4 right now, and there's 20 something chapters, but it's been good up till here at least.
Yeah,
I have to dial the speed back. Let me see what I'm at. I think it was 2. Yeah, I had to dial the speed all the way back to 2x, and normally I'm at like 3.5, just because, you know, I don't do a lot with philosophy, so it's taking me a bit more to process the concepts.
Dance. I've read a lot of stuff the past year, 2 years on consciousness and philosophy and all that. Didn't read that book though.
You have to tell me what you think after you read it.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, I'm gonna get
this. I feel like a semi heathen because I watched Iron Man 1 and 2 and the Avengers over the weekend,
and then you skipped 3 like a smart person.
Oh, and I haven't skipped 3 yet. I like 3 just for the iron, the armor in it is just so cool. But I agree, the rest of it is pretty suck. I need to watch Black Widow yet. Haven't done that yet.
All right, start the show. I like Barbara Blackwell's stuff. Is that her name? Barbara Blackwell? Susan Blackwell, I'm sorry. Yeah, Susan Blackmore. Not Blackwell. Susan Blackmore. I find her work really good. Anyway.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, she does a lot of philosophy of consciousness. No, no, no. All right, this is... Crap, what episode is this? 953,
no,
I think? Or is it 954? Anyway, let me see.
Yeah.
I had this all geared up. Yeah, 953. Here we go. Count it around, Joel.